You may follow the First Testament lesson in your pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands had bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate."
And now, as Paul Harvey often said, the rest of the story. Now, his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The word of the Lord. So there it is, the happy ending. For those of you who don't know what this is Rembrandt's version of the prodigal son being welcomed back by the father. I have to say that for most of my life, I have seen this story as one of the great happy ending stories of Scripture, right? How many of you just really, it warms the cockles of your heart? Right, because, well, just to be sure we're all on board, let's run through the story one more time. So you have this man who has two sons. The younger son is a jerk. And we know he's a jerk because he goes to his father and says, "Dad, listen, I'm going to treat you as if you were dead to me. And I want you to divide the property, give me what's mine, and I'm out of here." So the father does that. He divides his property, gives half to this younger son. The younger son goes off. And I love the way the scripture, the writer tells it, he wasted it in dissolute living. You fill in the blanks. You describe that any way you want. So he finally comes to himself, one of those duh moments, because he finds himself feeding pigs, which for a Jew, and remember Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience here, is about as low as one could get. And he comes to himself and says, well, even my servants have bread and enough to eat, so I'll go back. I will beg my father to take me back. And you can just see him, can't you? He's all the way home. He's practicing. He's practicing this thing that he's going to say so that when he gets there, he can sound real convincing, right? And he can have a better life. Again, even if not a son, a better life. But before he gets home, his father sees him on the horizon and runs to him. He runs to him and he embraces him. The son sort of goes through this routine and the father just ignores him. He calls out and says to the servants, go get the best robe, the ring, kill the fatted calf. We are going to celebrate. Woo-hoo. It is a happy ending. Except it's not. This story is not a happy ending story. In fact, it's a story without an ending at all. Where this story leaves us is with one important question. And that question is, will either of the sons love the father like the father has loved the sons? This is a story without an ending, and that's the question. Will either of the sons love the father like the father has loved the sons? To understand that, we need to step back into the story. And first, remember that this is a complete story. Most of us like to stop where Derek stopped. Well, we'll stop right there. We'll just stop the story there where Rembrandt painted it. And I don't think Rembrandt ever painted the second half of this story. Because what we discover in the second half of this story is that the older brother is a jerk as well. Now, I know that there's some of you out there who have always gravitated to that older brother. How many? Come on, admit it. How many of you? Yeah, all right. Yeah, you're the good one. You're the good child. You're the one who's always been obedient, done everything your parents asked, right? But guy's still a jerk. And here's why we know. So he comes in from the field, and he hears the party. He calls out to a slave and says, oh, what's going on? The slave tells him, and he becomes indignant. Okay, it's all right. He has a right to be indignant. It's what happens next. The father comes out to him. Now remember, this is the whole image, right? The image is that the father ran to the younger son to embrace him. Now the father comes out of the party to embrace his older son and says, come on in. This party is not just for your younger brother. This party is for all of us. Come on in. And what does the older brother do? He insults his father in public. This is not the kind of house where this party's going on, where no one can hear this conversation. Everyone listening to Jesus would understand that everybody here has sort of got their ear out for this conversation between the older son. And this is what the older son says to the father. For all these years, you've treated me like a slave. I've worked like a slave for you. Then he said, I've never disobeyed you. I've worked hard to earn your love. And then he says, and you haven't given me anything. You haven't even given me a goat to roast with my friends. And what's interesting about that is so often we take him at his word. Right? How many of you, come on, how many of you sort of take him at his word? Dad's not been nice to him. All right. And I've just been dying to use this term. My friends, that is fake news. It is absolutely fake news. And here's how we know why it is fake news. Because the way Jesus tells this story, he brackets the whole story, beginning and end, with something that says that isn't true. In the beginning, in verse 12, the younger of the two sons said to his father, "Father, give me the share of my property that will belong to me." So, what does the father do? He divides it between his two sons. He gives the younger what he really doesn't deserve, and he gives the older what he really doesn't deserve. Everyone listening to this story in the first century would be shocked by that. That before this man's death, he has already divided up his property, and suddenly the older son has everything. Not just the younger. The older already has his share long before dad is gone. And then Jesus concludes this story with these words. Then the father said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours." He gave the son everything. Did he give him a goat? He gave him lots of goats. Did he let him celebrate? Yes, he invited him to the celebration. And so what happens is that when this story ends, it doesn't. Jesus leaves everybody, including us, hanging. Because we want to know, did those two brothers, did either one of them love the Father like the Father loved them? The younger brother, sure, there's a party going on, but we don't ever hear from him again. We're clueless as to whether or not he really is grateful for what his father has done for him. We have no idea. And the older brother, we're left right there. We're left at the door to the house, and we have no idea if after dad says that, that the older brother realizes what he's been given and loves the father in return. What Jesus does with this story is he wants his audience to answer it for themselves. Jesus wants us to answer it for ourselves. Do we love God the way that God has loved us? God has given us everything. God's given us life. God's given us community. God's given us an earth that supports and sustains us. God has given us love and grace and forgiveness. God has given us all of this, even when we didn't deserve it, even when we weren't perfect. God has given it to us. And the question Jesus wants us to answer is, do we love God in return like God has loved us? This morning brings to a conclusion our series on We Make the Road by Walking. I'm not sure how many of you have read the book or have read it every week, the weekly devotionals, but today we bring it to a close. And we have walked our journey from creation to recreation, from Genesis to Revelation. We've walked it through the Torah, through the prophets. We've walked it through the Gospels and the book of Acts and Paul's letters. We have walked this incredible sort of biblical journey, but at every stop, this question arises. Because at every stop, we read how much God loves us, how much God has loved humanity. And the question has always been, have we loved God back? Now, this morning I want to do something a little different. I'm going to come back in a minute and give you your challenge. But sometimes I think what helps us take in what Jesus is trying to tell us about God in this story, sometimes we need a visual. And this is more than a visual. So I just want you all to watch. It's about 3 minutes long. Take it in, let it live in you, and then we'll come back.